This Bible study is entitled Christmas Tree Light. Gordon is reading from John chapter 1.
In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in the darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. In many senses, no Christmas would be complete in our modern celebration of Christmas without the following three things: a tree, the ornaments on the tree, and a light. The tree that we use is an evergreen, coniferous trees. Behind the idea of the evergreen, going back to the earlier days, and it really came into being as a Christmas tree in the 16th century. But even before that, before they had the tree, they used to make pyramids out of wood or heavy card. They would hang on them nuts, fruit, paper, things that might be helpful that they wouldn't normally have. And there was often candles on. Days gone by, they were symbolic of, because the evergreen never shed its leaves, of having benefits and protection the whole year through. We'll look at a bit more depth at some of the things. The ornaments came in again in around about the 16th century, and in that time they start to add apples. And lights came in about the same time, but there were candles, and I'll give you a little bit of history on them in a moment or two. But so we have the tree, the ornaments, and the lights, and these are the tinsel that goes over them. They're all part of the decoration, all part of the tree. But is that all there is to it? Well, as I said, the tree that we use and has been used for many years is a coniferous tree, which means it's an evergreen. And symbolically, the behind it, from the Christian point of view — I'm not talking about the general worldly point of view, but from us as a Christian — is the idea of the tree of life. And of course, that takes you right back to Genesis, doesn't it? The beginning, when they didn't take of the tree of life, but Adam and Eve took of the tree of knowledge and good and evil. But the tree of life also crops up at the end of Revelation, and once or twice in between. And in a sense, it's a picture and symbol of the cross. Isn't it Peter that talks about Christ being on the tree? The fact that it's evergreen gives the idea of perpetual fruitfulness, or perhaps, if we like, eternal activity, because generally speaking, unless something goes wrong with the tree or it's cut down, it will always have leaves, of green leaves of some kind. And the standing, it's quite useful. Most of your rafters in your house, etc., are made out of that kind of tree. Most of your door frames, because it's easier to work than the hardwood, which is deciduous and broadleafed. That's the physical tree, and it has a symbol of, as I say, the tree of life. And from our point of view, that is very important to understand. It was Martin Luther, I think, in the 16th century, walking home, he saw stars shining through evergreen trees. And he told the children, it reminded him of Christ. And he actually wrote and spoke a sermon on it. And that was one of the leading things, that where they started to add decorations and lights to the tree. The ornaments. Well, again, that was 16th century. And it was usually, as I say, apples or nuts or things like that, until about the 18th century or 19th century, where they began to make ornaments to put on and make it look attractive with the course of candles. And I'll come to that in a second or two. And it is simple, symbolic, really, of the adoration of the tree. And in our case, the adoration of Christ. And the lights, and it's the lights I want to concentrate us on for a few minutes. Originally, there were candles, but they were quite dangerous, and you always had to have water or sand available, because it wasn't unusual for them to set the trees alight, and homes and lives would be lost too. But in the 1880s, I think somebody invented such things as electric lights, and it wasn't long before they became very much the standard for trees. And I've got to be quite honest about this. The more lights I have on the trees, the merrier I am. I love the lights, and I like to have them up. I have them outside the house. I have them inside the house. I have them in the hall. I have them on the tree. I have them wherever I can get them. I love the lights. I've got to say that. To me, it adds that sense of brightness in the dark world, which, in a sense, that's what Christ is. Remember our reading? In him was life, and the life was the light of men, and the light shineth in the darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. I love them. My next-door neighbour loves mine. He complains when I take them down outside. He says, oh, whenever I come in, it brightens the day. And in a sense, I hope that's true on a spiritual level. But what significance can we see in them? But what signs can we understand? Well, there are four areas I want to suggest to you, and I'm quite happy for you to disagree with me. I won't jump down the microphone and blacken your eyes, anything like that. But there are four areas when I think of the lights in this sense. First, the originator. The originator of light, time-wise, and that was God. In Genesis 1, let there be light. Without his spoken word, there would have been no light in this dark world. And it's interesting that Christ is also called the Word. There's just that link there. But it's important to remember when we're thinking about God, although time-wise the originator was God, God is light. And that is in an eternal situation. Revelation 2:23, for the glory of God has illumined it. You see, you have that idea that that light comes out from God. So if we're going to be in the light, we have to be in God. The second I've got entitled The Optimum. This, to me, speaks very clearly of our Lord Jesus Christ. If you study Isaiah chapter 9, verse 2, 42, verse 6, 49, verse 6, you have this idea that he's the light of the Gentiles. Now, you've got to understand, that's Old Testament. To the Jews, there was nothing for the Gentiles in the Old Testament. They were barred. They were outside of all the rich blessings of God. But as far as God was concerned, his son was going to come to be a light to all the nations. John 1:4. We read that. John 8:12 and John 12:35. I am the light of the world. If you can differentiate between the Jews and the Gentiles, there are other nations that might not be classed as either. But God, the light of Christ, is for all the world, for every individual. 2 Corinthians 4:6. The light of the knowledge of God in the face of Christ. Ephesians 5:14, Christ will shine on you. Revelation 21:23 takes us right back into eternity, and its lamp is the Lamb. Now, a lamp obviously gives light. So this is the ottoman. Christ is the light for time and eternity. Then the third little one to think about is the what I call the offshoot. And that's Christians. One of the things I find very remarkable at times, and you have to accept it by faith. You'll never understand it. For example, we are co-workers with God. What? Co-workers with God? Come on. He does all the work, we obey. But no, we're given that elevated title as co-workers with God. And here's another one of those tremendous privileges that are awe-inspiring. And it's Matthew 5:14 when he says, "You are the light of the world." Remember John, "I am the light of the world." Matthew, "You are the light of the world." And he's speaking to his disciples. If you look at Acts 13:47, that should have been the role of the Jews, but they had failed. And now that baton has been, as it were, passed on to the Christians, that we should be the light. And you can look at that as the light of testimony in the world. In Ephesians 5, "You are the light in the Lord." And I like that "in the Lord" bit. It stresses the great truth. If you're not in the Lord, you're not the light or a part of it. You have to abide in him. Philippians 2:15, "You appear as light in the world." This is the role of Christians. And that's what we are. Then the fourth one, the outstanding truth. The outstanding truth, and that's the gospel. The gospel, 2 Corinthians 4:4, "That they might see the light of the glorious gospel." Authorized version, that there. 1 Timothy 1:11, "According to the glorious gospel." Now that can be translated "the gospel of the glorious Christ." Again, authorized has the glorious gospel. Why are we so shy about sharing it? It's glorious because it's the beginning of our redemption, our salvation, our new birth. It begins with the light coming into the world. And it's only when the light actually shines into our lives that we can appreciate it. It's beyond all the glitter. We who are believers can perceive the true light, Christ, and we can perceive the true glory, the gospel, and we can perceive the true wonder that when we get to heaven, we live in that light in a more wonderful way. Just four things that takes us beyond the tree. Look at it, appreciate it for what it is, but see what's behind it.
That was Gordon Stoves on behalf of Gospel Outreach International in December 2021. Part of the Behind the Tinsel series. We hope you have enjoyed this Bible study. And if you'd like to join us for other online Bible studies, then you can find more details at goi.org.uk. You are welcome to share this Bible study with others, but please don't modify it without express permission.